You are listening to the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast, episode number 278.
And now what's left, Bostonians?
Another episode of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. I apologize for the long month delay, but we are back. I'm your host, Ben, aka the Marvel Ziggy. Joining me is the man who was supposed to record Deadpool 2 in my spot while I was on vacation in Chicago, but it didn't happen. Taser. Taser, welcome back to the show.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
I was in a whole other state without my equipment, so I said, y'all record it, y'all be fine. And I get a message, hey, we didn't record. Oh, okay, that's fine. And joining us is the man who wishes he could tag team with Jushin Thunder Liger at least once in his life, Jonathan Coatright. Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And folks, I want to let you know that the reason why Deadpool 2 didn't get recorded that one night is because Iggy's sound equipment is racist.
Yeah, pretty much confirmed.
Yeah, he had to deport them back to Canada where they belong. So We're good now. Hi, y'all. Missed you.
It's at the time of this recording, it's 2 days before 4th of July. It's really freaking hot all over the world. We're all going to die in a melting pot anyways. But we are the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel-related. And when I mean all things Marvel-related, I mean all things Marvel-related. So we can talk about you a bit of news. It's been slow, actually, despite that we've been gone for a fucking month. Nothing has happened with Marvel, at least super relevant. We're still all reeling from the effects of Infinity War and Thanos killing everybody.
But we can say that they did, as of this writing, the U.S. government has given Disney the permission to take
fund
over the
Space
Fox
Force
acquisitions and stuff.
And fund Space Force. I'm joining Trump's Space Force.
You'd be their decoy.
Yeah, anyway. you'll be the red shirt.
I got no problem with that as long as I get a phaser and a red shirt and some cookies. I'm fine.
Okay. But we're not here to talk about Star Trek. Let's go ahead and talk about some really stupid news. So apparently Journey into Mystery is coming back, if you don't know. Journey into Mystery is one of the 60s Marvel titles, anthology books that have come out. Is where Thor made his debut. Marvel is bringing it back for a one-shot. It's called Journey into Mystery, The Birth of Krakoa. Now, if you haven't heard of Krakoa, John, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're old as dirt. Krakoa's first appearance was Giant Size X-Men number one, right? There wasn't a Krakoa before then.
No, there wasn't.
Go ahead, John.
And, you know, and fuck you for that statement of being me as old as dirt. You got Taser over here, too. You know, he's just as old as I am. Jeez. But, Krakoa, and for all those people, the young whippersnappers that don't know it and don't get off my lawn, Krakoa is the lawn that is sentient. It's a sentient island. And
or how the comic phrases it, the island that walks like a man, which I had a X-Men CD that had Giant Size X number one, and it had a voiceover track with it, with the voice of Wolverine from the 90s X-Men cartoon at the time. Every time I see Krakoa, I always go, Krakoa, the island that walks like a man. And I'm like, that is so fucking cool. I will never forget Krakoa. So apparently this is a one-shot issue that will embark Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos on a final top-secret mission in the closing days of World War II. So it's basically Nick Fury versus Krakoa, the island that walks like a man.
You know what I think of whenever I hear Krakoa, the island that walks like a man? What? Remember that Mighty Mouse episode where he goes and visits the island with the Hawaiian mice, and there's that one female mouse, and she's called Krakatoa Katie, she ain't no lady. I hear that song each time I see that word in print, Krakoa. I think of that episode of Mighty Mouse from 1912 or wherever the fuck that shit was printed. I can't even help it. It's like missing one letter, but I just think of this like female dancing mouse and like Mighty Mouse is going, yay! So yeah, just
and folks, that's one of Taser's habits. We just didn't want to know.
Yeah.
Segway.
Are you excited to see Krakoa again? Because Krakoa hardly gets used anymore. Like I can't remember the last time Krakoa has been used in a comic.
I could have sworn he was in the X-Men. I could have sworn he was actually a member of the X-Men at one point.
No. Oh yeah. But like
he was the Island X.
No, on the Jean Grey School of Higher Learning, he was. Like, they had made the groundskeep out of Krakoa or something. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, way back. When Wolverine was the
yeah, he was the headmaster. That era of X-Men. That's an era of X-Men, by the way, because it was so long ago now. Yeah. John, are you excited about to see the origin of Krakoa?
Not so much the origin as I am actually legitimately excited to see the real Nick Fury back, World War II. Not being some sort of rip-off version of Krona and just shuffled off to the side to be on the moon to be wearing chains. So, it's nice to see the real Nick Fury coming back, even if it's only for a one-shot. and Krakoa, I like the character, but liked him better. I just prefer the story, how they used him to introduce, everybody's favorite lineup of X-Men.
Oh yeah,
the
actual true X-Men number one.
Yep. So, I'll look forward to it. This is like the third time they brought back Journey into Mystery in some form or another. So,
I wish they would do more of them, like the Tales of Suspense, Tales to Astonish, Journey into Mystery. Is there another one I'm forgetting?
Amazing Fantasy.
They never use that. They never use Amazing Fantasy. And I don't know why.
Probably because it would be too much of us people thinking they'll making it as a Spider-Man title or something.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. There's one more. Tales of Suspense, Tales to Astonish, Amazing Fantasy.
Wasn't Suspense the one with Doctor Strange?
Tales of Suspense was Doctor Strange, yeah.
Okay. And House of Mystery.
No, that's DC.
Oh. Oops.
Yeah.
Still a good read, but
exactly. Gave me Swamp Thing. All right, but let's go ahead and continue on marking the X-Men news. So, in case you didn't hear, last week it was the official, almost official wedding of Kitty Pryde and Colossus until Kitty Pryde backed out. And instead, they're
coward.
Not married.
Coward!
Yeah, Kitty Pryde literally phased through the ring as the ring was going to get put on her finger. Light of that, both X-Men Blue and Gold have been officially canceled as of issue 36. So both issues will be ending with issue number 36. I stopped reading X-Men Gold like at the beginning of the year because it kind of got like, I don't know, boring. Yeah, boring. It got too boring for me. And I never touched X-Men Blue because I refused to touch to not read anything about the time displaced X-Men ever again. But I know y'all don't read X-Men too much, but I'll go to Taser because his answer will probably be quick. What do you think about the cancellation?
Fuck them.
Okay. John?
Pretty much I will echo Taser sentiment on it because I never read any of the titles. It's going to take a lot for Marvel to get me to want to read X-Men again because for every one time they get, something positive, they do about five or six other things of bullshit, like the 500 titles of The Return of Wolverine that we were talking about off, camera, so to speak. And not only that, but they've been doing this for the last 10 friggin' years. They run an X title, cancel it, run another X title, cancel it, bring it back, cancel it, bring it, reboot, 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 recount, underlay, when I saw that, I was like, okay, the only thing I can think of is they're getting ready to do something big because they now, Marvel/Disney will now have the rights back to all things X And now that they probably will have that, they're going to probably turn around and start doing a major big push for the X-Men proper. I don't know. It just kind of, you know, it's there. And, you know, I'll read them in trades about how I do it if I decide to read X-Men of any sort. So there we go. And boy, did I just make everybody disappear.
Bleh.
Bleh. Okay. But, but yeah. Unless they come out with some big new proper reboot of the X-Men, like say bring them back more in line with what they used to be, what made them good, I could care less one way or the other. You know, yeah, keep old man Logan around.
Would that work nowadays, though?
I mean, I don't know.
That style of writing is well, it's by today's standards, it's dated. But also,
yeah,
you know, we're looking at, you know, a completely different generation of readers that don't really, they're not motivated towards the same type of stuff as, you know, let's say you and I were, you know, way back when. So I don't know if that would work nowadays because, you know, it's a completely new ball. Well, literally a completely new universe, but also a completely different ball game, you know?
True. My main thing is they bring back Cyclops, make him nowhere near the asshole he'd been the last, you know, 10, 15 years. Get back the original lineup, maybe throw in some of the classic like Colossus, Nightcrawler, Wolverine, and Kitty, and kind of do it that way. You know, you remember the early 90s when they relaunched X-Men with gold and blue teams? You know, Uncanny and then, you know, just regular X-Men.
Yay, Jim Lee art! Woohoo! Willis Potashio! Yay!
Oh, hey, Potashio's run was highly, very underrated. You know, I had a lot of people that weren't happy with his art, but I was like, but they look back on it and like, oh, that was actually kind of cool. But, you know, that's just how it is. But, you know, unless they're planning on doing something like that, I mean, I know I can't expect them to do a Chris Claremont, John Byrne style of writing and stuff, because God help us, I really don't know if I'd want to see a Claremont-influenced X-Men done in today's, you know, storytelling, especially as long as it's not done by Claremont. But other than that, like you said, fuck them. It's just, it's typical Marvel. So, I mean, unless they're going to do something where they wipe out the Inhumans and have the X gene 100%, you know, normal.
Well, you know, Marvel's been trying to make the Inhumans a viable alternative to the X-Men because they didn't have access to them. They've been trying to play them up in the books because, you know, same reason. And I'd say they largely failed because...
Partially failed? They failed completely, dude.
Well, fair enough. I misspoke on that one. But that's... It's not to say that, they, you know, they won't shelve them and then try again. You know, same thing with the Eternals. You know, because that's why they had them in the first freaking place. Because, you know, they had the X-Men, and hey, let's come up with a new source of isolated instances of humanity that feels like they need to hide away from people. Oh, okay, yeah. Inhumans! Hey, Jack Kirby, get on that. You know what I mean? And then, you know, same thing, rinse, repeat with the fucking Eternals. But,
hey, but Eternals were cool. They'd be the ones I'd like to see as a more updated, you know,
they tried that there. A few years, what, maybe about 7 or so years ago, and yeah, that didn't really work because they tried to play them off as legit superheroes, and they don't work as superheroes. They don't. I mean, like Teen Eternals.
It needs to be more like.
Eternals every like once every 10 years, and they never work.
That's why
the way the Eternals would.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The way the Eternals would work is if they did what. Like what they did, you know, what Jack Kirby did when he went to the Distinguished Competition with the Fourth World. they have to be done in that similar style because that's what the kind of characters they are.
Also, use they should sparingly. Link them in,
yes. And have them they more, are used more sparingly. The actual cosmic. Yeah. You know. We got Eternal who's in the main villain in Infinity War, but you know.
Yeah, but he's an Eternal by way of segue and side stuff. You know, he's not, you know, he's not an Eternal that you know, proper. Resides in Earth and does everything else and you know, like Icarus and Athena and all the rest of them. Makari and Cersei and shit like that. But, you know, and you're looking at a race of, rather a group of humans who all tap into the same source of energy and can basically do almost the same thing. You know, I mean, some of them are better at certain things than others, but there's not a whole lot of difference aside from looks and costume.
True, I agree.
And you know, while I do... like the idea of the Eternals as a concept, they're not something that you can have as like an ongoing monthly for like 10 years. I don't think they work.
No,
like
you could probably do like maybe a mini every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. Or like or a five a maxi, like a 12 issue, and yeah. It's like some serious shit. Yeah, I got no problem with that. But it's the same thing with the Inhumans.
When you got
the
same
thing, you know, especially when your high watermark. Is Black Bolt, literally somebody who goes toe-to-toe with the Hulk and can give almost as well as he gets, you know? You know, if you got, you know, the big diversity, you know, we breed this crystal shit and, you know, randomness happens, yeah, you could play up the fear angle and, yeah, you could play up the whole, you know, I breathe the air and I turned into Triton and oh look, I'm on the moon and no fucking water. But you know, they don't work as a constant. And you know, look what they did when they brought him over and what was it? X-Men versus the Inhumans. You know, you had the new Inhumans. Who all looked human? How many of them looked odd? You know, how many of them had like the physical variances that we've seen happen to most of them? I mean, yeah, most of them do tend to look human, but enough of them look different. You know, that didn't happen with any of these. These guys just kind of went, "Oh, look, I got powers, but I still look stellar." You know, it's like, "Oh, come on, really?" So, yeah, I don't think. I don't think either of those two ideas work as a long-running constant. Just, you know, like Iggy said, you know, a mini or a maxi every now and again. And
that's what that's what Marvel was doing with the Inhumans for a while. Like, oh, here's a mini about the Inhumans. Here's this. Here's Roar Kings. Here's Silent War. And then they would say it, and they would guest star now and then. But let's – I don't know how the fuck y'all got to the Inhumans while I was gone for, like, a couple of minutes.
Segway!
Our final bit of news, which is it's fucking stupid – Wolverine, you know, he's back. You have to buy 17 issues. Fucking stupid. Whatever. Wolverine's coming back in another series called Return of Wolverine. So they're finding him and then he's back. So, you know, whatever. But in that, apparently Wolverine will be getting a new ability. And apparently it's going to be the fact that his claws will heat up.
Hot metal claws.
Yeah, because you know adamantium, you know, apparently can't cut through anything, so it heats up for some. Look, this is just
he can cook meat now.
Yeah, he can cook. He could always do that. He could spark a fire somewhere with his fucking claws and do it that way.
Yeah, true enough.
Fucking Wolverine's resourceful. I guarantee he's done that. Like this to me is just like this is like a writer going. I need to put something that says I did this on Wolverine. I'll do this.
No, I agree with you.
That's what this is. And it's like, it doesn't add anything to what's cool about his claws. It doesn't do anything. Wow, maybe just tell a good fucking story than adding a stupid gimmick power that you're going to forget in 6 issues.
You mean like organic web shooters?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because of the fucking movie that shit stuck around for so long. And then they wiped out Mary Jane and Mary Jane and Peter's marriage to get rid of that shit. But this is just like, why can't he just be back? Like, maybe he's changed personality wise because he's been dead before. So I don't fucking know. But they had to do something, and this is the lamest way to do it. To me, it would have been okay to just, and I guarantee you, any fan of Wolverine would be like, let me just have him back. He's been gone for so long. I don't need a gimmick. Let me just have Wolverine back. But no, they have to do this. Taser, do you have any more thoughts on Big Fiery Claws?
I'm going to call him Hot Metal Wolverine from now on. That's the thing. Hashtag Hot Metal Wolverine. I'm making it a thing. Honestly, I really think this. They got rid of Wolverine because they wanted to take him off the table and do stuff that wasn't automatically Wolverine oriented or whatever bullshit, you know, concept that got passed around the operations table over at Marvel. And it occurs to me that they didn't actually need to keep him. They could have just had him go off and do something different by himself for a long time. But they wanted to kill him, and kill him in such a way that made people go, ooh, ah. So they dumped him in metal. And then they came up with one of the funniest ways to bring him back. Like, I think we did a show about that. And I had to admit, I kind of clapped, and then I kind of raged at it. And now it's this whole, chase Wolverine, gotta find Wolverine thing, and you know, their idea to make this even more palatable is Wolverine now with new Hot Metal action. Who is this for? Who is this for? This couldn't possibly be an attempt at a hook to bring in new Wolverine fans. sorry, I had to cough. And this can't possibly be for current Wolverine fans. So this is exactly, you know, like you said, this is some writer who said, I need to do something interesting. I know, and, you know, voila. And right now, I'm looking at it as how long this lasts. Because honestly, you say like a couple of months, I'm going to say about 3 to 4 years maybe. You know, something will happen and in story he'll get caught or like Mr. Sinister will capture him or something because he heard about the new Wolverine being able to do, you know, s'mores on his own without an open flame. And he'll try to steal it and that'll reset his genome and he'll be, you know, regular metal Wolverine. You know, it'll just take us a long time to get to that point. And sadly enough, this isn't interesting. There is absolutely nothing interesting about now my claws heat up so I can cut shit faster. Really?
He's got to be able to cut through butter.
No parquet. Anyway.
Wolverine cuts a good filet mignon, don't you know? He probably does too, considering how old he is. He probably knows how to cook filet mignon.
No. You know what? You know what'll make this interesting? If now Wolverine can cut through adamantium.
Ooh. Couldn't he do that before? Can't adamantium?
No, it can't. It just sparks off of each other.
Okay. The list of they could always create more characters, but the list of other characters who actually have adamantium is very fucking slim.
It is. But remember Cyber?
I remember Cyber.
Yeah, and remember when they used to fight, and Wolverine would slash everything around Cyber except his face to no fucking effect, so he ended up having to, like, punch his ass? Not Silver Samurai, Ultron. Yeah, that was Ultron. Useless.
Okay, Ultron had an adamantium body, remember? Yeah.
So,
but Wolverine never fights that techno son of a bitch. He never fights him.
Didn't they go up against each other when he was in New Avengers?
Age of Ultron, probably.
Fair enough. But, you know, I'm just saying, though, adamantium doesn't damage adamantium. You know, that's just kind of been the rule of law for, like, forever.
Through vibranium?
Actually, vibranium fucks up with adamantium.
No, that's Antarctic vibranium, though.
Okay, well, because that one.
Well, I'm just saying there's actually two different. There's the extraterrestrial adamant vibranium that's in Wakanda, and then there's the one in Antarctica that they call it antimetal because it actually melts other metals. Fucking trivia. When was the last time you heard anybody refer to the fucking Antarctic vibranium?
Anyway, the only time Marvel refers to the Arctic is when they refer to the fucking Savage Land.
Good point. Good point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I see. That's the only way that this becomes a legit thing is if he's now able to penetrate at other forms of adamantium. Other than that, him being able to heat up his claws is functionally useless because it doesn't afford anything aside from him maybe scarring people without actually cutting them by simply touching the metal to their face or arms or whatever the fuck. You know, beyond that, big fucking deal. Marvel, this is just fail.
They just gotta make him a flamer, okay?
Oh, and give him like hot pink and yellow accents.
Oh yes. You gotta have that accompanied knowing claws, and he's going to have that. You know, it looks good with his yellow and black.
Yeah,
and
he'll be a descendant of the Rawhide Kid. And he'll be an ex-lover to North Star, but North Star just doesn't remember him because Wolverine's that old. Anyway.
So, folks, can you tell us, can you see that we're just real excited about this new revelation of Wolverine?
Ooh, it's so sparkly and anticipating. Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, two snaps up.
Yeah, so really, this is just, I don't even know. This is sad to me. You know, it's functionally useless unless they actually do something that he couldn't do before with that. And, I don't care. I don't care.
So, Charles Soufflé, Soleil, has said that it's supposed to actually serve an actual purpose to the storyline that he'd been doing, yada yada yada. Quote unquote. But you know, again, I'll go to my tried and true. Let's wait and see how it goes in action, and then I can say yay or nay on it. But I'm saying mainly nay. Is it just bring back Wolverine as Wolverine. Don't try to.
I'll wait for John to rant about it on Messenger. There you go. Like he did with Iron Man 1.
All right.
Well, speaking of reviews, I am going to talk about. It's time to get our individual reviews. Again, if you liked any of the news stories, give us a comment. Let us know your thoughts on any of the news stories we covered. And let's get into reviews as I'm reviewing. Black Panther number 1 and number 2, because I have jungle fever. This is the part of the new Marvel initiative, renumbering everything. This is still written by Ta-Nehisi Coates, who was the Black Panther writer from the previous volume, and this time drawn by Daniel Acuna. And this is Black Panther meets not cosmic because Taser's gonna smack mouth me because it doesn't involve Black Panther in space, basically. So apparently there was there was a section of Wakandans at some point in history that went off into space to reform the Wakandan Intergalactic Empire. It's been a thing. And T'Challa is somehow like, it's no clear how this connects with anything, but T'Challa is basically captured in the first issue, and he's rescued by M'Baku and the other Okoye in the the movie character. Well, I guess they were comic characters first.
Wait, hold on. Is M'Baku White Gorilla, or is he just
regular? No, he does. He looks like he's just, like, there's no sense of that he's the White Gorilla. It's just M'Baku.
Oh, man.
Well, like, they're basically, like, even T'Challa's not even the Black Panther. He's basically like Luke Skywalker. He's like, they think he's T'Challa because of his name. They think he must be, he's the king. But basically, the first issue is kind of disorienting because you're literally dropped into this. There's no context of how the fuck T'Challa got here. Why is he here? Why is M'Baku and Okoye there? Like, what the fuck is going on? It's more like confusing than anything else. And I was like, I don't know if I want to read this. And then I read issue two, which is like, they introduced the emperor of the intergalactic empire of Wakanda, who they don't say his name, but like he sits like a badass on his throne. And it's fucking Star Wars meets Black Panther. That's what it is. Like, they, you have a big, in the second issue is what really sold me on it, because you have T'Challa and M'Baku and Okoye, like, T'Challa basically, like, dogfighting with other space fighters, other Wakandan space fighters. Like, it was, like, I don't know how everything got to this point. I don't care that, you know, this thing is obviously a retcon to something. I don't care, because, like, the dogfighting was awesome. I'm like, okay, fuck yeah, let's do this. I'm in. The Emperor, whatever, like, I'm going to call him the Emperor because they don't call him by – I don't think he is given a name. He is technically the Black Panther. Like, it was just fun. It was cool. And I like the art a lot.
Okay, well, if it worked for you, then that's all that needs to be said.
Yeah, so. Issue 2 – if Issue 2 was any more confusing, I would have been like, okay, I'm out. But Issue 2 kind of was just like, we're in this world. You either deal with it or you don't, and I really loved it. It was really fun. It was really fun. Both issues get... Issue 1 gets a 3 out of 5. Issue 2, rather, gets a 4 out of 5.
Let me ask you this, then. Would you say this is not in regular Marvel continuity?
It doesn't seem like it. Because, okay. This... Oh, excuse me. Because, like, it's clearly that this is T'Challa... It is T'Challa. It's not like a version of him, but there's no reasoning of like why he's in space, and why these people are in space. At least I didn't get that interpretation. Okay. Yeah, but this seems to be like it's going to be its own sort of story, and it may not affect anything. But if I get, like, look, I'm running off the high that is the Black Panther movie, is Wakanda for hashtag Wakanda forever. You know, so like I just want it, and I'm kind of glad, because like we get upset at Marvel so many times. I'm like, they're just doing the movie. That's all doing the movie. And Ta-Nehisi Coates just goes, nah, fuck that. We in space. We Star Wars now. So I'm like, okay, I'll give you credit. You're going against the complete norm and not just, you know, making it about he didn't. There's no Killmonger. There's no other people. I mean, sure, there's characters. There's no Claw, right? There's characters you'll recognize from the movie, of course, but it's not like it's doing the movie again. It's not trying to rehash those storylines. It's not making Killmonger and Black Panther and T'Challa, you know, brothers or cousins rather. You know, it's not doing that.
Does this look like it's likely going to be a mini or a maxi? I think it's going to be like an ongoing if they can get it to work.
I think this arc will be an ongoing, and it might like go back into like some regular like Wakanda shit eventually, because it is Black Panther. It's like it's now, because of the movie, Black Panther is more high profile than he's ever been, arguably.
But does that translate to sales though? Because typically that doesn't work.
Well, the last issue of like volume of Black Panther lasted about before the reboot. It's technically still going on. I mean, it's still going on. Like Marvel,
but that was before the movie came out. What I'm saying is, typically, not in all cases, but typically, if a character gets a movie, and you know the movie does well, that doesn't necessarily lead to a mega massive bump in the subscriber base. Yeah, you might see something, but usually shit like that falls because. What they do in the movie is one thing, and then when people pick up the book and they go, hey, wait a minute, what the fuck is this? Hey, he can do what? This is unrealistic! And, you know, just kind of, you know.
No, I mean, I don't, like, it seems to me like this could just be, like, a very long arc. Like, I could easily see this being 12 issues. Okay. Easily. But then, like, maybe issue 13 is, like, that's the end of it, and then we go back to, like, on Earth with typical Wakanda shit, which would be fine with me.
All right.
This is a nice diversion. But let's go ahead and go to Jonathan with Weapon H number 4. This is still a thing?
Yes, it is. And surprisingly, it's one of the better titles that Marvel has been coming out. Who would think that a title about a guy who's, you know, gets mad and turns into the Hulk and then also has Wolverine claws would actually be a decent title? It's like a traditional look at, like the David Banner being on the run, trying to hide from authorities. Only it's this gentleman who I'm, again, I didn't get to read Weapon X completely, so when they were doing all that there to introduce the character, but it's been a fun ride since issue one, and it brings in a Man-Bull guy from Roxxon, who was also in the Thor run for a while back, and Roxxon's trying to look for the new Weapon H, because they're like, wait a minute, there's a guy who can turn into the Hulk and has adamantium claws. Maybe we need to find him. And this issue, the guy's, trying to stay, quiet and hide. Well, he gets found by the Man-Thing. And another reason why I picked up this issue, because Man-Thing's one of my favorite, B-list Marvel characters. And suffice it to say, Roxxon's like, well, hello, we found you, and I'm just going to let you know this guy, we've enhanced his ability with DNA harvested from a Flora Colossus known as Groot. So once he gets a hold of you, you're not going to go anywhere. No, by the way, the man has a special power. Whoever knows fear burns at his touch. And they finally figure out the guy's identity and says, and we're going to look for your wife, and we know who your family is. And he's screaming in pain. And, yeah, it's almost like a giant-sized nuclear bomb of burn. I mean, it's just like, whoosh. And you think that would probably take him out? No. And they're in the middle of the battle. You see him and Man-Thing slugging it out. And then finally he just retracts the claws and just manages to hit Man-Thing and knock, essentially finish him with a choke slam. And finds his wife is there. And he's like, no one's supposed to find you. No one, and Roxxon comes up, hits him with darts, and reels him in, So the next issue, you're going to see Roxxon owning the Weapon H, and they're going to do stuff to him. And what I really think is fun about this title is it's throwing in a lot of different things, from various different, previous properties. I mean, Roxxon now apparently also now has the Brood working for them in some form or another.
Who?
The Brood.
The aliens?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because
okay.
They had the living starship that they usually use, the Ashanti
right.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the previous issues, he took him out. He took the Weapon H, took that thing out. And
that's,
I was like,
not a small feat either.
Yeah, well, this guy is pretty damn powerful. He took on a different version of, of the Wendigo, and it was somebody who they thought had ate human meat, in the wrong area, because that causes the curse. No, he ate tainted Wendigo meat, and so he became an even more badass.
An even more Wendigo?
Yeah, and Weapon H was having a hard time fighting him. It's written by Greg Pak, so that's probably one of the reasons why it's been very surprisingly well done, because Pak really knows his stuff when it comes to the Hulk, and I still say Totally Awesome Hulk was a better title than what it should have been, and, this one, if you're just, got this really weird curiosity, how can they make this, make a title work? This is how you do it. You take a character that shouldn't work, which is Hulk with claws, and they do it. Because when he changes into the Hulk, when he hulks out and has the claws and stuff, while he does have the berserker anger and fury, he's still intelligent. He doesn't go Hulk smash or anything like that. He is, fully intelligent, fully knows what he's capable of doing, but he would prefer not to do it because he wants to keep himself in control. And I wasn't expecting, I guess because, I came at this with no expectations that, it's probably why I'm enjoying it so much. This is one of the probably top five titles right now, in my opinion, that Marvel has been putting out right now. So, of course, nobody's probably buying it. And It's on issue 4, so the way they do things anymore, I'm sure it'll probably last probably another 5 issues before they go, oh, cancel, reboot, whatever. And if they were really smart, do whatever they're doing in here with Weapon H and have that tie into Wolverine's flaming, you know, power, because adamantium can't cut adamantium, but what if, you know, the flaming adamantium, whatever they're going to do, might be the what takes...
Hot metal action.
Uh-huh. And maybe that would be the what will help take them down, and that's how they want to do it. I don't know. But I'm on this for the ride. I've collected every issue. It's a 4.5 out of 5. If you just want something that's not trying to totally, you know, piss you off, or and it's not also trying to be like the next high grade comic, you know, because I know there are going to be some critics who are going to go, oh, good God, why Marvel? And I'm like, this actually is good. I really can't describe it. I just say, go pick up the last 3 or 4 issues, sit down, give it a read, and I think you'll like it. I highly recommend it. So there you go.
All right, and let's close the show out with Taser's rendition of Tony Stark, Iron Man, #1.
Before I do that, I just want to say, since we were talking about Hulks, I read The Immortal Hulk 1, and that wasn't a bad story. I don't know if that's actually going to be a continuing or what, but at least as a one-shot, that was not bad. I thought
that's actually supposed to be a new ongoing title.
Really? Okay.
I didn't know that the first issue has come out yet.
I read it earlier last month, so.
Okay, I'm going to talk to my people. That's supposed to be on my pull.
Shame on them. But either way, that was a fun Hulk story. I might actually pick up the next one, you know, so, you know, it gets Taser's. I give it a 4 out of 5 Warriors. So there you go. Okay. Good. So Iron Man. No, wait a minute. What the hell is it? New Iron Man.
Tony Stark Iron Man #1.
Yeah. Okay. So the title alone should kind of tell you where they're going with this. Okay. Because what we come to learn is that in this new remake of Tony's idea and concept of Iron Man, he now says that Iron Man is not, he is not Iron Man. Iron Man is not a thing. Iron Man is a concept. We are Iron Man. And there's now a Team Iron Man. It's, you know, it's fucking Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, mixed with, New Agenda Marvel. Because we see the we see Team Iron Man arrayed before us in like the last page, and it's a nice diverse cast. Which, okay, yay diversity, but I like it when, you know, the hero is kind of solo and he figures everything out for himself. Not when he's got all these people working on the problem, because it looks all busy and helter skelter, and, you know, like a lot of shit is happening. That didn't work for me here. It's interesting that he has Jocasta on the team, and I thought she was broken again, but apparently she's not. She's now part of his H&R group for human and robotics life form something. You know, rights and respect thing. She's H&R, you know, so... You know, don't insult either humans or robotics, or else you got to deal with Jocasta. And the whole thing with this book is, because it's a reboot, it goes back to Tony Stark being a kid and entering into one of those robot war thingies. And this guy is working with his team. And yeah, we've got these robots and we're going to win the championship and everything else. And Tony, young Tony, probably 14-year-old Tony, is just kind of like, yeah.
Even though the guy who's talking looks like he could be Tony Stark.
Yeah, I was actually confused. Which
the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's same thing here. I wasn't too sure about that, but when they actually showed Tony looking bored, I'm like, yeah, that's Tony right there. So this guy and his two partners, they lose to a Tony who comes in with two mandroid looking robots and a boombox with a theme song, and you know he kicks their asses, and the robots, you know, they do air guitar and shit like that, and everybody's like, yeah. And this guy's disgruntled because he lost, and basically he ends up working out of his garage some 20, 30 years later. And apparently he's doing interesting things, and Tony Current goes, looks him up, tells him, hey, you're still working out of your house. You suck. I bought out your company. Now come work with me because we're going to go do great things. And the guy leaves with him because Tony Stark just insulted him. But, hey, I'm on that payroll now. So we get the big tour, and we meet, you know, everybody working for him. Bethany Cabe. Bethany Cabe. Who's Bethany Cabe again?
Long time.
Femme Fatale?
Long time person that's known Tony for a long time. Has been, you know, head of security before. She also, back in the mid-90s, was part of the Iron Legion. She got to wear one of the armors that was chafing her hips. You know, she's a long-term character.
Because I was going to say, wasn't she, like, with the Magia or something like that?
No, that's a... That's Madam Mask you're thinking of.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, good point. Okay, so yeah, Bethany Cabe, she's head of security, and you know the Ferrari Testa, whatever the fuck that he picks him up in, which has got the Iron Man colors. He flies him from Bumblefuck America to Washington Square, somewhere around Washington Square Park, where the new Stark University, Unlimited, whatever they're calling it, happens to be, and it flies, because of course the car flies, and you know, the guy is, he's surprised that the car flies. This is a man that's lived in the Marvel Universe for at least a good 50 years. He's surprised that the car flies. Anyway, so like I said, he gives him the grand tour, and he takes him to Google. You know, because it's got young people doing things, and you got cats wearing stuff and being told to drink milk, and a dog who's actually drinking milk with a glass and stuff. And it's all new and updated, and I don't know what, you know, adjective I want to use here, but it's modern. It's a new modern take on the Stark thing. And this guy, he's trying to, you know, find his way in it because Stark thinks that, you know, something that he, you know, this new tech that he had is worth it, and he wants to get it to work with his tech. Fine and dandy. So they were working on, you know, this one problem, and all of a sudden, Fing Fang Foom shows up because Fing Fang Foom. Fing Fang Foom. Fing Fang Foom shows up and starts going, and starts breaking through shit and, you know, just kind of doing Fing Fang Foomy stuff until Stark notices that, hey, you know, he's not monologuing. There's something else going on here. This doesn't seem right. And Stark throws, like, these self-aware and self-maneuverable tools at him, like arc reactor repulsor cannons and this thing with a metal hook that I don't know what the fuck that shit was. And then he's got these other nanobot things, and he calls Rhodey.
By the way, when the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I really like, don't know. He called Rhodey. Really, I'm like, what? Wait. And Rhodey was in uniform. Rhodey was in uniform.
Yeah.
Well, Rhodey was brought back to life, I think, in one or two issues ago.
In Invincible
By
Iron Man?
What?
By Bendis. Bendis brought him back in a new body. I don't know the full story. I just know
fucking
they brought him back.
Bendis, you douchebag.
They should have said something in this fucking issue, because I remember fucking him getting punched to death.
Yeah, he got one shot by Thanos.
It should have happened in the movie.
Well, he did get one-shotted. It just wasn't by Thanos, but anyway.
Everybody got one-shotted.
But either way, so yeah, Rhodey shows up on a screen, And it's kind of like, oh, look, it's Terrence Howard's idea of Rhodey, where he just kind of talks to Tony over through a screen. He doesn't actually have the War Machine armor. Okay, fine, whatever. So Tony jumps into, he takes all the parts that he sent out to Fing Fang Foom, and then they form Voltron, Defender of the Universe. I shit you not.
I know.
It's 20-story Iron Man Model 3FB, or as I like to call it, the Fing Fang Foombuster. Dun dun dun. Yeah, trademark. Anyway, that armor gets his ass kicked because it's armor going up against Fing Fang Foom. So Tony abandons ship. Red alert! Abandon ship! And he calls on some new tech. Actually, his new armor isn't bad looking. I will say that. I do like the look of the new armor. You know, with those wing pods on his back and shit like that. That's kind of tight looking. But then he ejects this module into Fing Fang Foom after making a wound by hitting the same spot X amount of times. And it injects Iron Man nanobots into his bloodstream. Yeah, this is a thing. And Iron Man is flying around trying to control these nanobot things, and they're trying to figure out what's going on with Fing Fang Foom, because apparently he's being controlled, but we have to figure out the control thing. And this thing is, you know, destroying Fing Fang Foom antibodies, and the guy who he just hired figures out that, you know what we need to do? We need to take and play that music that Stark used way back when he kicked my ass during the Robot Wars thing, and that causes all the nanobots to start fighting in unison, because reasons. And they find this control disc, they break the control disc, Fing Fang Foom wakes up, and he goes, yo, hold on, what the fuck? Nah, fuck this. Nobody uses Fing Fang Foom against his will. I'm gonna go home and eat some Oreos, screw you people. And they save the day. Yay! Save the day. Because reasons. So, they end up having, what do you call that when there's a bunch of reporters and a person talks to them? A big interview thing. And people are like, hey, Tony, so what's the new armor going to be like? And hey, Tony, what's this and what's that? And Jocasta's wearing clothes, because Jocasta needs to wear clothes. And everybody's got questions, and that's where
Show me those metallic titties.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
By the way, I'm convinced now that how many times that Dan Slott has used Jocasta in his comics, he has Rule 34 pictures of her somewhere.
Ha, Rule 34.
I'm convinced.
But, yeah, so Tony, you know, he starts talking to the gathered throng, and, you know, he does what Tony does. Tony gets personal. And it's like, hey, come on, tell us, but what's the armor really like? Is it nanite-based living metal? Where's this year's model? And he says, you really want to see it? I got it right here. Just say my name. Tony Stark! Tony Stark! Tony Stark! And this little kid, you know, little black kid who somehow, for some reason, around all these reporters, he goes, so close. But come on, little man. You got this. Who am I? You're Iron Man! And Tony goes, this is Iron Man. It's not a suit. Iron Man's an idea. Ever-changing and limited only by our imagination. I say our because Iron Man is an idea we all share at Stark Unlimited. It's all of us and everything we do here. We are Team Stark and we are Iron Man. Right then and there, I gave this book the middle finger. Like, fuck you. I just fuck you. This is new Marvel Tony Stark. And I... Blah! Blah! I will not be touching this book again. Not until something serious changes, and I have no desire to read anything further from Dan Slott on this book. I was thoroughly disgusted with the idea that Stark needed a tech pit crew. to get shit done. I'm sorry. I come from the day and age when one man can make a difference on his own. He got shit done. And Tony Stark was like that for a long period of time. But because we don't tell stories where you have guys deal with monumental tasks, they do it on their own, and that's the sole reward is that they got the job done, they want to tell character stories now. And you can't do character stories without a whole lot of characters. So that's what we have here, a whole lot of characters. And I don't care. I do not care. I don't. So if I had to give this book a rating, I'm going to give this book 2.1 Warriors out of 5 because it's a disappointing change to the Iron Man concept that, you know, from what I like, you know, so this book, it's not for me. It's a change from what I like. The art was different, but it wasn't bad. I'll say this. Once I got past like the first two pages, the art was fine, but the writing, yeah, I won't be touching this book. I just won't. Somebody needs to break Bendis's hands for bringing Rhodey back. You know, I just
break. He also scarred Doctor Doom's face again.
Okay. Let me ask this one question: what happened with Doom being Iron Man?
He's still doing it, but apparently they're going to start making the minor changes. To
evil.
Because Fantastic Four is due back soon, so yeah, you got to do that. Okay, and no Riri. There's no Riri in this. You would think Riri might show up because that, to me, that kind of makes sense. I would have had Riri in this book.
Nah, man, she's in Champions now. Her creator's gone. She don't matter anymore. That's no hate on Riri, but that's what's going to happen to Miles. That's what's going to happen to Jessica Jones. It's going to happen to Riri. They're all going to get...
Miles is already back in the Ultimate Universe. That's what they apparently did.
What?
The Ultimate Universe is back.
How the hell is the Ultimate Universe... Never mind. We'll talk about it offline. So yeah, you go. That's my take on this book. If you like Iron Man no matter what, then you're going to get it, so you know you don't even need to listen to me. If you actually give a rat's ass about heroism, because that's not really what this was here, this is more like protection of corporate assets, then you might not like this book. If you're an old fogey like me and John, yeah, you won't like this book.
I will say this. There were bits and pieces of this that I was like, okay, I enjoyed, but overall, I was just like, really? And then when they did the whole reveal on the last page, I was just like, really? We have to bring that piece of shit back? I ran it offline, folks, back when this issue first came out, and Taser will let you know that, I mean, I was ranting. They brought back the fucking controller. One of the worst characters in Iron Man's Rogues Gallery, one of the worst characters at Marvel in general, they had to bring him back. I hope he's one and done, you know, in a couple of issues, but knowing Slott and his affection for taking and obsessing with shitty characters and trying to make them major players, I mean, that was who controlled Fin Fang Foom. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, fucking hell no. There's no way the controller could be powerful enough to control Fin Fang Foom.
He slipped the disc inside.
Fin Fang Foom.
And you know, is it me or did Fin Fang Foom shrink?
No, he's been stayed the same size.
Really? Because I kind of remember like his fights during the 90s and like the early 80s, Fin Fang Foom was a lot fucking bigger.
Who knows? It could just be the way the art was.
Fair enough. That's fair.
But, oh, you, I, my, My enjoyment of the issue was actually around a 2.5 level, you know, because I liked some of the nice little throwaways they did, you know, with the, you know, Ultra, you know, the Voltron Iron Man thing. You know, I'm a big Super Sentai Voltron fan. I got a kick out of it. It was funny. Tony Stark was even more like Robert Downey Jr. now.
No, yes, it was Robert Downey Jr. turned to 11.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He kicked it up a notch. A few notches.
I liked some of the stuff, like they're bringing Jocasta back and that kind of thing, but I'm not liking how Slott is taking some of the shit that he took from Spider-Man and bringing it into Iron Man. And I just...
By the way, Tony Stark doesn't yell at his attack names.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, that was like, okay, fuck this comic. I'm like, Tony, I don't care how, like, look, I get it. He's back from the dead and everything, but Tony Stark does not yell out his attack names. That's not something he would do. He doesn't do that. He's not 15 years old.
Yes, he does. If you're writing this for somebody who's watched Japanese science fiction shit, then yes, Tony Stark does.
I will say this: if this is going to be any precursor to what he might do to the Fantastic Four, Marvel, get him off of there as quick as possible.
Hopefully. All right, but I feel like we're going long. Let's get the fuck out of here. You can check us out on various social medias, including Facebook and Twitter. Just, you know, search the Mighty Warriors 3 and you're bound to find us. I actually have something to promote. I did a YouTube video on a video game called Celeste. It's an indie game that came out earlier this year. So if you want to find that, you can go to my Twitter handle at twitter.com/MarvelousIggy. It's going to be the pinned tweet that you can watch my video. It's a ramble. It's unscripted, but I wanted to put something out there, and there it is.
Is it about how you suck at video games? Because I'll watch
no.
that.
No, I do die in the video a couple times, but it's more about why I really like this indie game called Celeste and why it's my early contender for Game of the Year. But go watch it to get sort of my go watch it to get sort of if you want to know more. And coming next show, and I fucking promise it's gonna happen. We will be doing Ant-Man and Wasp, which is the sequel to Ant-Man. We'll be doing that. I promise.
What about Cloak and Dagger?
No, because I haven't watched it. I kind of don't care to watch.
Short and concise. I like that.
But yeah, Ant-Man and Wasp. As for Deadpool, unfortunately, if you are wanting to hear our takes, you're gonna have to wait a little longer because it's already been a month. We are gonna wait till it comes out on digital. So not necessarily Blu-ray, but when it releases on digital again, we will talk about it and we will discuss it. Then, so I apologize for any inconvenience. We had a show recorded, but it just didn't save, which sucks.
It was racist. It didn't like beaners.
No. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. As always, we're glad to be back. And as always, stay marvelous. Have a good night, everybody.
And eat beans, because they're good for your heart.
And fuck LeBron James going to the Lakers. God damn it. Y'all ready for this?